God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. How's that for a beginning on our broadcast today as we begin a new series of broadcasts that we simply are entitling Spirit Teaching? The reason we come to this conclusion is that from 1 John, that's going to be the basis for our remarks in this series, we simply realize that all this teaching came by the Holy Spirit. We have told you in past broadcasts that the apostles of Jesus Christ were with him time and time again. They saw the wonderful miracles he performed. They heard the teaching that actually baffled the outstanding minds of that day. And they realized his great power, recognizing him truly as the Son of God. But the time came when Jesus was taken from them on the cross, buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and for the most part we find they were doubters that he came forth from the grave, until he proved conclusively to them that he was the risen Savior. It was in that period of 40 days from the resurrection to the ascension that you find in the latter part of the gospel records that we have Jesus speaking to them and convincing them that he was the Son of God. A scripture that is so outstanding is found in that 24th chapter of Luke that tells us in verse 49, after he had mentioned that repentance and remission of sins were to be preached first in his name in Jerusalem, he simply told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they should be endued with power from on high. That power came at Pentecost, and how important was that, friends? These men could have not told one soul upon the earth what to do to be saved without the coming of the Holy Spirit. You see, this indicates that men could walk with Jesus, and they could realize that he died, that he was buried, that he arose again. But when you tell that story to the man on the street, you still haven't told him what to do to be saved. But when you offer the gospel to him that includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as a teaching, then we're aware of the fact that he's able to obey it from his heart, that he might be made free from sin, that he might become a servant of righteousness. So the Spirit-filled message that came to the apostles at Pentecost was a very vital thing. Unfortunately, many times when people think of the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, they think of the miraculous things that the apostles were able to do. But strange as it might seem to you on the broadcast today, the miracles that were performed by the apostles were secondary to their message. These miracles were never performed for personal gain. And so we focus in as we begin this broadcast today with the idea that the message must always be kept above the man. The miracles were simply used in the first century to produce true faith, and to confirm the word that was spoken. From this accounting that we read on the beginning of the broadcast today from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I mentioned time and time again, and I think we had discussed this subject at some length in one of the broadcast series, the necessity for man to have light. It's always been interesting to me when I look at the creation back there in Genesis to understand that on the first day God said, "Let there be light," and by the power of his word, light became a reality. You see, light was not alone needed in a physical sense, but even more so in a spiritual sense. The sun, moon, and stars were not created until the fourth day, but yet we understand that God truly did create light upon the first day. Someone might say, "How would this be possible?" We understand that since God is light, and in it is no darkness at all, that the very presence of God in that garden with the created Adam and Eve would indicate the evidence of light. This brings to our mind regarding heaven itself, and when you read in the final chapters of the Revelation writing, you'll recognize that there will be no need for a sun. There'll be no need for the moon or stars, because God will be the light, and he will be the light of their life. On the broadcast in this series, as we talk about a spirit teaching, keep this thought in mind that the light of God's Word must come into your life if you're going to have the lights turned on spiritually. Perhaps you accept for granted, as so many of us do in our everyday life, the physical evidence of light. We see the sun, as we say, that comes up in the morning. We realize the beauties of nature. We see the golden sunset in the west at eventide. And we accept these things just taken for granted so many, many times. We're aware of the fact that this is something that sustains the physical life upon this earth. But since the soul is worth more than all of God's physical creation, we should realize on this broadcast today as we begin this series that it is so necessary that the entrance of His words that can give light can truly convert the soul. David said many years ago, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And so we pass on to you in this broadcast today, brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, a message of hope, a message of truth, and a positive picture of the Christian life. The people who walked in darkness saw great light, and that was the coming of Jesus. Unfortunately, these people did not let the light come into their life, so many of them, that it might do them good. But there were those who did let the light that Jesus had to offer shine into their life. What did it do? It indicated, as light can always do, making manifest those things that are short in our life. I feel sometimes this may be why people want to actually shun the light of the gospel. There's a certain course of life that they're following. They keep telling themselves that this undoubtedly is the best life upon the earth. You know, I've often wondered about this. Years ago in Shelbyville, Illinois, there was a good brother that I used to visit with when I went to that community. And I remember we were talking one day about people who were living in darkness, people who were steeped in sin. And he said, "Had you ever understood or had you ever realized, why does the man or woman who finds their life in darkness want you to really think that that is the light life?" You see, it would seem to us when we meditate upon this that if the way of man being a way of sin in this life, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, that he would want people really to recognize the value of sin, that he would emphasize all the things about sin that have so much glitter and so much glamour. Well, there are people who do that. But you see, the point is that people want you to think they're good when they're living a sinful life. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are good moral people who truly need to be born again, not because their life is morally corrupt, but because all men sin and come short of the glory of God. Because all men need the light, for truly we find man finds himself in the darkness of this life. I thought especially when I was reviewing the life of Christ some time ago, how much evidence of light had to do with the birth and the early days of Jesus. The shepherds apparently who took care of their flocks by night were alerted there with the angelic hosts. And I am certain the very character of this story indicates to us the evidence of light. The darkness of Bethlehem was indeed greeted with a spiritual light when Jesus was born. And these lowly shepherds of the field, as they made their way to find the babe in the manger, recognized apparently the evidence of the angelic hosts and the evidence of light in the night that was about them. Is not this a true picture of the world as we see it today? Recognizing it out in the pastures of life, there is probably some evidence of light from the sun, moon, or stars, the sun in the daytime, the moon at night, the stars as they twinkle. And yet that's very small compared to what the light of life can be spiritually. And so man finds himself walking through the pastures of so-called darkness. And then all at once comes the beautiful news, the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's told how light can come into his life. Then also when the wise men who came some time later, finding Jesus in a house in the city of Bethlehem, followed a star, which is the evidence of light. So you will see what God has done in his wonderful word is using the physical evidence of light as we see it in the creation to indicate to us the spiritual need for light. I thought especially of that statement back there in Genesis 1 and 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there became light. Light became a reality. You see, God spoke light into existence. And might I say to you on the broadcast today, that as we offer this gospel to you, we are offering words, but these words from the Bible are words of life, and they are words of light. So as you listen to the broadcast today, understand this spirit teaching indicates that if you're not a Christian, then you're certainly in a form of darkness. You need the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is why we tell you straight from the shoulder, with all kindness, that when you look at the composite picture of what people did to become Christians in the first century that is still binding upon us today as the Spirit teaching comes down through this Word, we are to hear this Word. What can be gained by hearing the Word of God? Remember that scripture we gave you some weeks ago in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? So then faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. So here's someone going around in the darkness of life. They realize that they need light, and here comes the entrance of this Word. By hearing the Word of God as it's proclaimed, much as we're doing on this station, then there's an opportunity for faith. When one lets the searchlight of God's Word begin to come into his life, he sees the flaws, he sees the shortcomings. And like the people at Pentecost who had even been guilty of murder, citing that as an example, they simply wanted to know what to do to be saved. They were told to repent. They were told to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38. Before people were baptized, according to the 8th chapter of Acts, they confessed with their mouth what they believed in their heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This is the message of life. This is the message of light. So since God is light, come to God for that light of your life, of your soul, that can lead you through a world of darkness into a haven of eternal rest and eternal light. May God bless you as you have listened to this broadcast. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ that brought this broadcast to you invite you to their services. Listen for time of meeting. Be with us next time, and may God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth of light.